T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Welcome back in Hour 3 Sports Talk Sunday, special edition for you here on WGR. No Nate, no Joe, you get to deal with me, Derek Kramer, Frank R. Curie, and Evan DePasquale as we're hanging out with you for this last hour. Excuse me there. Terrible time for a hiccup. And we'll be hearing from Bills offense coordinator Ken Dorsey in just a little bit. In case you missed it, Sal Capaccio checked in with us live from training camp. You can find that on our website at WGR550.com and on demand audio, as well as Rewind with the Odyssey app. You can go ahead and scoop back there and be able to listen in on what Sal had to say from St. John Fisher University. I am not losing another dollar. You pay the price.
And you had to show your proof as well.
Oh, yeah. Of course I'm going to show my proof. I'm a man of honor. I'm not gonna skirt out on the dollar. I didn't even know about the whole thing, but I'm not gonna skirt out on it. I can't do that. So, as Evan had mentioned in the update, a couple of things from Bill's practice. Khalil Shakir, Mitch Morse, Isaiah McKenzie on the practice bike today. However, Roger Saffold activated to the active roster and practicing in live drills for the first time as a Bill out there today. So that is going to be a very interesting thing. First team offensive line, by the way, with Morse out today and dealing with everything that they had been doing, it looks like it was Dawkins, Saffold, Bates at center, Tommy Doyle, your sixth offensive lineman last year in the goal line packages, and Spencer Brown at right tackle. So Tommy Doyle getting first team reps there at guard with Morse out and Bates kicking over to center.
Yeah, you wonder if that's a sign of where he is in terms of the tackle positions in camp, since he was drafted as a tackle, or they're just testing out his versatility.
Not to mention he was, you know, the guy that you would trust first on these sorts of things because he was your goal line lineman.
Yeah.
So I'd imagine that is kind of where that reward is coming in right now, is getting the first team snaps when first man is down on the interior at that point. Or you're trying out new things, because like we'd mentioned before, Bobby Hart was getting first-team reps in some practices, which made me have a straight-up panic attack. Cody Ford has not been winning those reps away from any of the other players, so it may just be Tommy Doyle's turn out there as well. Questenberry continuing also to be a versatile piece. I'd expect he would probably get reps with the first unit as well if things don't pan out health-wise on the offensive line. So, here we are. We're 6 days away from the start of the Bills season in preseason against the Indianapolis Colts. It's the Colts, right?
Yes.
It's the Colts, right? It's the Colts, right? Says the guy who's going to be hosting pregame for that. So I just wanted to be sure. You know how self-doubt is a thing? That's what that was in that moment. It was just an internal panic of, wait, it was that, right? I'm not wrong. Am I wrong?
Am I an idiot?
Wrong. Am I an idiot? Don't answer that, Frank. Don't answer that at all.
This time I won't answer it. Because you know I always do. As Derek gives me a look.
I'm not gonna register that. Anyway, coverage of Bills training camp on WGR. It's brought to you by Fiegel Carr and Joyce, your border attorneys, by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? And by Northtown Kia, the number one certified pre-owned Kia dealer in the Eastern region. Shop northtownkia.com. Before we kick things over with Ken Dorsey, it's not even fair at this point, I'd say, to ask people what your expectations are of this team. Because we all know what it is. It's Super Bowl or bust. They are that good where you need that sort of thing. Yesterday I was kind of in on no more consolation prizes, no more of the feel-good story here when you have a legitimate two-time Super Bowl champion come here because of the fact that he believes in your team being the best threat to get him another ring. Von Miller left greener pastures in L.A. Dallas was in on him because he played at Texas A&M. That would have been a nice little storybook for him. Denver was in on him. He's fond of the team that drafted him. Traded for Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
He's won one there. And then you get Buffalo, whose main selling point is we're good.
We have Josh Allen.
We have Josh Allen. You don't have to play against Josh Allen.
Yeah.
That's quite a selling point nowadays. You don't have to play against Josh Allen. He'd be on your side and trying to make your life easier as you stop teams from getting points. They have to keep up with him. So I'm looking for more of this, and it is, what are the expectations coming with the churn of the bottom of the roster? Because that's what's always going to happen. Every NFL team, any good team, is going to go ahead and try to churn and make the bottom of the roster better. It's not like they're going to stand pat. Injuries do also happen, but there are going to be some interesting battles that we look at and players that are trying to earn themselves some big-time spots. When I talked to Sal, he had made mention of how well players are playing at the tight end position, Tommy Sweeney, how well the wide receiver room is looking, that Marquez Stevenson may not even be capable of a viable threat because of availability on a foot injury. Tavon Austin, probably not going to make this roster. Jameson Crowder may be in danger of his spot because of how well Khalil Shakir is playing. Terrell Bernard playing well. The rookies are making a lot of splash plays. Christian Benford's become a hot topic as of late. I'm still very impressed with how well... I'm impressed with a regime that has drafted well. Because yet again, you're seeing the rookie class go ahead and show something. And yet again, you're looking at players that may become potential starters that were day three picks. When you have Gabe Davis and Taron Johnson and Matt Milano coming from day three, that's how you win games. That's how you become a top team.
It's not only how you become a top team, it's how you continue to be one. If you're constantly being able to find guys in days two and three every year.
Legitimate starters, even.
Yeah. If you're constantly being able to find, like, if you have six picks every year between rounds two and seven, and you're able to find starters in two of them every year, it goes a long way with your franchise, especially when you have a quarterback that you're paying top dollar to. You need to be able to hit on these picks constantly to maintain the competitiveness on your roster so that even though you'll lose a top talent who's going to go get paid somewhere else, you're able to have a guy step in.
Exactly. And I think, again, that's one of the biggest things is how will this team continue to foster depth for a roster that is going to need to work around the cap more than ever? They've had a lot of practice as of late because they were able to make some big signings and try to work them around. Now it's going to be more of the same, except a lot more aggressive. And the best way to do it, the easiest way to do it, is to hit on these draft picks. You're going to have to make tough decisions who's going to end up being a player that you have to lose. And it's going to start next season. But the best part about next season is that we don't have to worry about that yet.
That's a year away.
And we better hope that next season means that we are talking about players getting even bigger raises because of the fact that they're the defending Super Bowl champions. Oof. Fingers crossed. That's the cool part, is that it's not just a fanfare thing. It's not like we're talking ourselves into a lie like the drought years. It is what the reality is.
It's legit.
We're factored into reality, Frank. We're not talking fantasy camp. We're in reality. And that is why it's still the single most frustrating season we're about to endure. Still is. Can't imagine why.
So would you say that this, the pressure that the fans are facing, is this more pressure than the 06-07 Sabres?
An interesting parallel. And I think part of that has to do with the fact that this has been building toward it. Whereas the Sabres in 05-06, 06-07, that first year of their big success came out of a lockout and they were projected to be one of the worst teams in the league. Yeah, turns out they flipped the switch and were one of the best.
Yeah, it came out of nowhere. And we got to remember, too, they had a slow start to that year as well. They only won, like, I think, 6 out of their first 15 games. And then next thing you know, they lost for the rest of the year. They lost, like, 15 times.
They became a wagon, and sadly, it was still only second in their own division.
Right.
So they were a four seed.
But that 05-06 season came out of nowhere. As Derek just said, they were projected to be one of the worst teams in the league.
So heading into that next season, they brought everyone back.
The expectations were there,
but I don't think it was, because based on the fact that Ottawa was still a problem, I don't think it was like immediate Stanley Cup champion threat. It was they are a threat for it, but we don't know if it was just like a one shot.
Yeah.
This Bills team has been building toward that.
I kind of look at this as like me being, I'd have no life and would watch old Bills highlights. This kind of feels like almost before the Bills Super Bowl run. Okay, you had in 88, you went to the AFC Championship game, you lost, and it was, you know, had magical season, etc. Then you come back, you know, you're not as good as you were the year before, you still win the division, and you lose in the divisional round in probably one of the worst ways imaginable. Like, you know, the Harmon drop in 89, and then this one, 13 seconds. I'm not saying that the next 4 years the Bills are going to be in the Super Bowl, but it has that feeling of you were so close. I mean, I don't know if in 89, I mean, obviously I wasn't alive. That was before I was born 10 years later.
The fact that you brought that up.
Unnecessary. Carry on.
But it gets to the point of, you know, you basically had the game in your hands, or like you were close to victory, and you know it ends up leading to a Super Bowl berth, I should say. But I have a feeling that there are probably similar parallels to this. I don't know if the Bills would have went to the Super Bowl in that 89 season. I don't know if they would have gotten past the Broncos, but thinking about it, it just like kind of was like maybe they would have gone to the Super Bowl in 89 if they had won against Cleveland.
I mean, obviously possible, but you look at that and you think leading up to the first Super Bowl appearance for the Bills, they had a couple of years where they were building towards that already. And you knew, okay, like they're a top team. They can make the Super Bowl. They can win it. And that's what this year is for them now. We have two straight years of them being a top team. Now, as we've been talking about today, this really is their best shot to win.
Yeah, because back then there wasn't a salary cap to make you lose all these players. And this is probably the swan song of Jordan Poyer the Bill. And it's been an awesome tenure.
Amazing.
Guy's been flat out amazing, especially for what he was brought in as, was not very well known, and establishes himself as an all-pro safety.
Probably, arguably, one of the top five safeties in the league, honestly. Yeah.
I'm not even going to just sugarcoat it. That guy was voted as an all-pro selection.
First team.
So that means that he's getting that respect that he finally deserves.
That's
bittersweet.
That's why I don't really compare the 05 to 07 Sabres and with the Bills, because they only had the 2 years. That was it. If they were to have brought back, you know, Briere and
one
Jordan,
of them,
or one of them, then you can make the argument, because then that 07-08 season, they would have been looked at as a top team still. But after losing both of them, that wasn't the case. So they felt, and of course they fell off and still almost made the playoffs, but even still. So I like the comparison more to the 88 to pre
I don't
Super
because
Bowl
of the
bills,
no
just a little
salary
more.
Cap.
Right, but
the salary cap thing is the issue.
It has a little more to it. I'm saying, like, because when you look at the year when you look at the 1990 Bills compared to, like, this year's Bills, you see that they were building.
I like Evan's comparison about the Sabres because there was a similar sentiment with one of the members of the station. Bulldog had made mention that he didn't really enjoy that 06-07 season because he was waiting for the postseason. He didn't get to really enjoy it for what it was, which was a President's Trophy winning team.
Yeah, and I guess, too, like, our perspective is different because we were younger then.
It was, but
so, like, I had such a great time watching the regular season.
Right, because we hadn't seen something like that.
Right, I never seen this.
The thing is
but it's the same, you know, it's
similar thing.
Similar
we haven't
thing.
Seen that.
We haven't
An
seen
entire
this
generation of Bills fans yeah. hasn't seen this. And yet I am expectant. I am ready for just sim to January, let's go. But I need to get through the season like everybody else because that's how time works. And I do think that we have ourselves a chance to appreciate what the franchise has built up.
I guess, too.
That's the hardest part about this is that we still need to appreciate the roster that has been generated. But now, if there's no championship attached to this, it goes down as one of the roughest teams to not get a ring.
Right.
Maybe in like recent league history. Because you look at how many times the Chargers with Phillip Rivers wouldn't be able to get there. They were a one seed multiple times. They had the number one offense and defense one year and didn't make the playoffs. Which was still the biggest anomaly that we have ever seen in the National Football League when it comes to rankings of offenses and defenses. They still didn't make it. When it came, it was yards, by the way. It was yards how they were ranked 1-1. And they still...
Yeah.
Because their special teams were so bad awful. And they were coached by... weirdos. I think, though, that this is how it ends. Is it has to end with a championship, and I don't want Phillip Rivers, Dan Marino-esque legacy for Josh Allen. He can't. And the other part is, it better not. This season cannot end with another chapter of a legacy of pain. 13 seconds hurt a lot of us. There are people that still can't watch that game.
I can sort of, but after the...
I know there's plenty of listeners here that will not watch it. They will not watch it.
After the Davis touchdown, I turn it off.
Frank was to my right when that game was being played.
Yeah, we were watching
it together.
The
stunned look on my face of the Bills actually did it was...
We were going crazy.
It was meme-worthy, actually. Yeah, it was. But... I couldn't believe it. And again, this city has had such painful losses that you can't do this again with this roster. You can't. And here I am talking about all this, and we're in August. It's going to be a long season for me. I know, me problem. But anyone in that similar sentiment, it's going to be a long season. We'll see what we get, though. Bills offensive coordinator Ken Dorsey spoke with the media before practice today. That is coming on the other side of this break on Sports Talk Sunday. Derek, Frank, Evan, we're here. WGR.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And
watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field. It's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Welcome back into Sports Talk Sunday special edition here as we decided to have ourselves a nice little show with the Bills going back to Rochester and St. John Fisher University. Coverage of Bills training camp on WGR is brought to you by Fiegel, Carr, and Joyce, your border attorneys, by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's a place to buy a case. What's your outlet? And by Northtown Kia, the number one certified pre-owned Kia dealer in the Eastern region. Shop northtownkia.com. I got really depressed about something on the break.
Go on.
Before we get to Ken Dorsey. So there's a fun little thing that we have of there's a bet board, so to say, like little wagers amongst the staff of GR. And I see one here, and it looks like it was between Mike and Joe. And it says on there, Brady starts a 50th playoff game. He's at 47. And here I am thinking, what, like his age? No, that's the amount of playoff games he's played. He's near 47 on his age, but...
That, I mean, how many Super Bowls he's been to? 11?
I know, it's just
too many.
Ready? If he hits 50 games, that means he's going to another.
Yuck.
Thank you. That's the depressing part. The bad man won't go away.
Ugh.
I was so... when I found out he... at my college radio station, when I found out that he decided to come back... I was like banging on the table, and then there was like this little, like, I don't know what it was, but like it would sometimes pop out, and I think it was like for like turntables, and I hit the table so hard that the magnet came out and or like popped out, and you could hear the doo, doo. And I was like, that was
so fun. That's why they got upgrades there.
Oh, well, I mean, that's not for me. That was after the upgrades.
So you're of course, what Evan is referring to, by the way, is our alma mater at Buff State, yeah. And the student radio station there, WBNY, which is a place that a lot of us can pay homage to, actually. Howard Simon was a member of WBNY, funny fact for you.
He was there when it, like, was transitioning to an FM station.
Yeah. Him, Randy Bushover, the late Tom Connolly, all members of either here or our sister station that were members of that place as well. So there's a lot of us that can pay homage to Buffalo State and WBNY for having us here on the air. So it's a fun little thing there. But yeah, no, if Brady surpasses 50 playoff games, that means he's in the Super Bowl. If they have to play three games to get to the NFC Championship, and he starts number 50, that would be the NFC Championship. I hate everything.
I don't think I don't think the Bucs are going to get the one seed.
Yeah, so, they might not get the one seed, so like it'd still be the NFC Championship game. Make the bad man go away. Let's play Ken Dorsey before I spiral into depression.
All right. How we doing? Good.
How do you think it's going? How's the operation, man? I think that's how I want to put it. Like the communication in and out of the huddle, the plays since you've been here, running everything at full speed.
I think it's progressing really well. You know, I think the guys are having a good sense of urgency when we're getting in and out of the huddle or you know, swapping out receivers, changing personnel or whatever it might be. You know, have a good sense of urgency. I think the communication's been good. You know, it was good test for us here the other night to kind of get a little bit of that going and a little bit of that rolling, just in a little bit more of a live type action. So these preseason games will be good for that communication and just to kind of continue to grow and just get a feel for each other and that smoothness of being able to do those things.
Ken, where were you for that scrimmage? Were you up top?
Yeah, I was up top.
How did that go?
It went good. It went good. And, you know, honestly, right now, it's like I have my whole mindset of, like, yeah, I want to be down the field, you know. But, like, honestly, right now, I'm not 100% sure the direction that we'll go there. It felt good up top, you know, just being able to kind of have things organized and set out, you know. But I've spent my whole career down on the field, so that vision I'm kind of used to. So right now we're still kind of playing with it a little bit, and you know, we'll settle on it here at some point. But fortunately, we're not in a rush because I want to make sure it's wherever I'm most comfortable and wherever the team and the guys are comfortable with us with it. No, I mean, I was, you know, when I first got here with Dave's, I was up top, and then we switched. So, you know, I've been up there for a little bit, you know, and that was kind of like the first half or so of the season. So it's definitely a different vantage point and you know, and just a different way of seeing things. But it was good. I felt like the communication was really good between the box and the sideline. And no matter where you're at, that's going to be critical. You know, if you're up in the box, you really got to trust your coaches down to the field. They're relaying kind of the feel of the sideline and that communication there. If you're down on the field, you got to really trust the box guys to kind of be your eyes and be your be the vision of some of the things that might be a little bit in your blind spots down the field.
Besides those obvious differences that you just mentioned, is there anything weird or surprising we might not think about that's different between the two?
I mean, the only problem up with the box is just you're kind of in a confined space and, you know, there's guys right next to you or whatever. So, you know, every now and then you want to elbow somebody or something like that. But, you know, it's just that I would say that's kind of the main thing. It's just the confinedness, the tight quarters or whatever, you know, versus kind of being out in the open, you know. And so there's definitely pros and cons, you know, because you could have your stuff kind of set up and how you need it up in the box, and you just got to be probably a little bit more organized, you know, and condensed if you're down the field.
Last one I have on that. I mean, Brian has had a lot of different stops as an offensive coordinator. Has he ever, like, communicated with you pros and cons of what he's liked best as he's kind of going forward, and how much did that influence?
The only conversation I think we've really mainly had about was, again, just the communication and the importance of the communication more so than anything, you know, between up and down. I mean, that was his biggest thing always, because he had a really good feel whether he was down the field or up in the box. I felt like calling the game and seeing things. But I think that building that trust and building that feel between coaches is huge no matter where you're at. Yeah, I think Khalil's doing a great job, and for a young receiver, he's come in and really kind of learned and is growing within the system, you know. So we're still kind of working through, you know, where is he going to fit? What's his fit? And he's still competing for the opportunity, you know, to be out there. So I think he's doing a really good job from a mental standpoint, really learning and growing and getting a great feel for the offense. And he's just going to continue to grow, which is exciting.
Isaiah, can you also give us Cade Davis looks unguardable mm-hmm. in this training camp, and then Friday night, just how good is this guy compared to when he came in 2 years ago?
Yeah, I think, the biggest thing with him is he just continues to work extremely hard. He's got the great mindset for what you want from a young player, and that's, you know, he's hungry to kind of learn and continue to grow and get better. You know, so that, I think he's done a really nice job he's got a great feel for the offense what we ask him to do and continues to want to grow and learn more. So he's doing a nice job and we as an offense and you know, him in particular, will continue to grow and hopefully continue to improve and get better.
Isaiah has obviously had more of a role here on the offense. Even Sean said potentially a full-time role in what he's doing. When you were in your previous position before being elevated, did you always maybe have that vision of things he could do if you were ever in that spot and able to run the offense?
I mean, I think when you're in a more supportive role, I should say, when you're a position coach, you know, you're always trying to give insight and kind of ideas and those different things to Dave's was kind of my thought process. So, you know, you're always kind of figuring out different ways to try to use your personnel and utilize it. You know, and then as the coordinator, you're kind of looking at big picture and how it all ties together. I thought Dave's did a great job in the past with our personnel, you know, and really evolved the offense in a great direction. And we're just trying to do the same thing based off the personnel we have. And he's been a great piece to that.
Time with the different position groups, the way you do it, what you're comfortable with, evolved during during this offseason? Did you go in with one idea and you think you need to be here a little more or there a little more? Has that changed, or do you envision it changing?
No, I think the main goal that I have is just to really kind of be in involved in a lot of different areas and in all areas, and make sure, you know, I'm kind of popping in each room and one, getting a feel for how we're coaching it in an individual room basis, and two, those guys, you know, seeing that I'm around, because I think it's important. I think it's important for the line to kind of have faith that I've got buy-in to what they're doing, you know. And I think the only way to do that is be around them, you know. I think it's important for the receivers and the tight ends to feel that way, the backs, and then obviously, you know, the quarterback and how important that position is. You're going to be in that room a lot as well. So, you know, you try to balance it and try to be as much of a part of each individual room as I can.
Have there been moments where you just gravitate more towards the quarterbacks and you have to be conscious of it, or you've just sort of gotten that's your day?
I think there's moments where intentionally I am in that room a little bit more maybe that day, and that's the benefit of having such a long season and a training camp and everything. So because again, I think that communication and making sure that Josh and I are on the same page of why we're calling something or what he saw versus what I saw is important, because usually we're on the same page, and those few times that we're not, or I think it's important to be on the same page. Yeah, I'm so gunned up for Reggie. One, just because he's been such a great player for us, and then two, he's just a great human being. I mean, he's as good of a human being as I've been around. So I'm really excited for him and that opportunity and that possibility to continue to grow, you know, here with us and within our system. And he's done a great job, and anything you ask him to do, he's full bore going out there, ready to do it. I mean, no matter what it is, he'll go in there and play left guard if you ask him to, and battle his tail off. And that's why I love the kid.
What are some of the most important things he brings to your vision of this offense?
I think just, you know, his intelligence and his physicality and the speed in which he plays the game, I think is very important for us. You know, and just again, he's got no ego, and he's a guy who puts the teams first. So whether he's playing, you know, one snap or 20 snaps, whether it's offense or special teams, he's 100% bought in on this team's success, of doing whatever he can do to possibly help it. How are you, Sean? Thanks for stopping by. You want to come sit?
It's when the boss stops by, when it goes on pause.
Yeah, no doubt.
Sit up
straighter.
Yeah, you spent a lot of time with Josh and Matt the last couple of years. Case is the new guy in the room. From the outside looking in, it seems like personality-wise and even talent-wise, it's a pretty good fit. What has he brought to that quarterback room?
He's a great fit. I mean, one, like you said, his personality is awesome. Like, yeah, and he's smart as heck, and he's really picked up the system. And the thing I respect is, you know, he wants to kind of learn the ins and outs and the reasons why, and he's just got a great feel of understanding of that communication for him is so important, because, hey, he might not get that rep in practice, but he might have to go out and operate on a game day and you know, execute that rep to win a game. So I think he does a great job communicating, asking questions, being so locked in during practice, taking every rep mentally that he's not getting, and he's really done a great job with that. He provides great insight for Josh from his experiences and the different situations he's been, whether it's regular season, playoffs, anything like that, because he's seen a lot of ball. So I think he provides a lot for the quarterback room.
You joked Reggie may have to play left guard, and Willie, you've had to throw a lot of guys in the offensive line because injuries have really stacked up over there. Continuity is a big word used with offensive line. Is there a, I don't want to use the word deadline, but is there a point before the season begins that you feel you need to have the five set to feel comfortable that they can have that continuity and gel in time?
Yeah, I think that's a little bit of a feel thing. You know, I don't think, you know, you could put your finger on, like, this is the exact date we need to have everybody back or else, you know. The plus side for us is with that, some guys have gained some invaluable experience, you know, coming in and playing against some of the best D linemen in the league. I feel like, I mean, It's really pushed them and really forced some guys to really step up their game and take on larger roles and really hopefully have helped our depth there and hopefully helped that competition for guys to really step up and push each other.
So how many has this made things competition maybe more so than you initially anticipated up front, because availability is the biggest thing, and these guys, as you said, are rising to the occasion to fill in for guys that maybe would have been started.
Yeah, I think, you know, no matter what in this league, there's always going to be that competition. And, you know, so I think it's been really good for those guys to kind of step in. And, I mean, as a player, you know, as a former player, and I know all these guys, like, more reps the better. You know, if I can get reps, great. You know, if you want to give me reps with the twos and threes, and I'm usually a three, great. I'm gonna take those reps and get as many as I can. And I think that's been the thing I love about these guys is – some of those guys are stepping in and really having to take, you know, double dip on the reps or whatever, and no one's blinked, no one's complained. They just go out there and work their tail off and do it.
That was Bills offensive coordinator Ken Dorsey as he spoke to the media before practice today, which, of course, you can hear all about it, read all about it, as Sal Capaccio will bring his report to us on our website at WGR550.com. We're going to get out of here and wrap things up on a special edition of Sports Talk Sunday. On the other side of this break, Derek Kramer, Frank Arcuri, Evan DePasquale. You're listening to WGR.
No locker room, like, it was great. I wasn't trying to complain about it. I was just saying, like, my experience being in the dorms, like, you know, I just said, like, hey, the toilet paper's different, and, like, boom, like, boxes on boxes on boxes of toilet paper and wipes and stuff, and everybody's just trying to make my stay here a whole lot easier, man. I just want to say publicly, man, I appreciate all of you guys, and I'm grateful.
Von Miller talking about how he made a comment about single-ply toilet paper, and fans decided to send him some quality rolls in droves. Do more of that, less of throwing jerseys at the players to sign. Come on, Bills fans, be like that. Be like the people that sent toilet paper to Von Miller, who could very well probably afford better toilet paper. But we've all been in college. We all dealt with the worst toilet paper of all time in single ply.
That is true.
So it's not like he's still using it, and not like he's some sort of sadist. But it is a fun little thing where Bills fans just send a bunch of toilet paper his way. It's a funny little story. It's something that you like to see more of and less of the videos of we were complaining about this morning.
Yeah.
If you didn't hear that, I don't want to rehash it. So you can go to the first hour on WGR550.com. That's on demand. Thank you to Sal Capaccio, by the way, for helping us out with live updates from training camp. And I'm going to close out this Sports Talk Sunday with a little fun facts edition. So here we go.
Let me hear it.
You want to hear it?
All right. I want to hear it.
A couple of Bills fun facts for you.
Okay.
So today actually marks the 5-year anniversary of the Bills signing a high-profile name wide receiver, Anquan Boldin. Yeah. You remember Anquan Boldin signing with the Bills?
I was at one of the training camp practices, and I'm sure I have pictures on my phone of Anquan Boldin catching passes.
There's a really cool list of Bills players that have played preseason games. Anquan Boldin goes down in Bills preseason history with one catch for 5 yards. That's it.
Is he a Hall of Famer? So, like, say he goes into the Hall of Fame.
Does the team get included to Anquan Boldin? Because he retires.
Exactly.
He retired while being on the Bills roster, so...
He retired a Bill.
I think we should count it.
Totally should count it.
It's not going to be a...
Why not?
It's kind of like when T.O. retired, it was just like...
But he did play NFL regular season games as a Bill, yeah. So therefore the credit does deserve to get there. But Boldin did not. He played in one preseason game. He had one catch. And it is kind of funny, though, the stat line on that for it. He didn't retire mid-game, which, of course, that is how Vontae Davis will go down in history.
That was, like, the absolute worst. Yeah, you got blown out in the
Jamie's
first game.
Jamie's reiteration is hilarious still.
Yeah.
It's a young man's game. I can't do it anymore. And also, mentioned several times throughout the day as one of the noteworthies of the update from Evan, the retirement of Kiko Alonso, the Bills draft pick in 2013, who helped sweeten the pot on the EJ Manuel trade.
All I can remember, all
or
I
the
think
EJ
about
Manuel
when
I, draft, I should say.
I think all was, I'll say trade.
Was so they did trade down. I'm not sure if it was Alonzo's pick or Wood's pick, Robert Woods or Kiko Alonso, which was the second of the picks that ended up becoming from that trade that allowed the Rams to move up to select Tavon Austin, and they paid a second rounder. Buffalo would then, after moving down in the first round, selected EJ Manuel, and the second player was either Robert Woods or Kiko Alonso. It was Kiko Alonso. So he made that. Yeah. He had one great rookie season. He was an all-rookie first team. He was the defensive rookie of the year for Buffalo.
He was?
Yes.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, he was named to the Pro Football Writers Association all-rookie team after 159 tackles. Two sacks, four interceptions. Yeah, the legend of Kiko Alonso. Yeah, two sacks, four interceptions, 11 tackles for loss. It was a pretty solid rookie campaign. Then he tears his ACL in practice, and then he never suits up for the Bills again and is traded for LeSean McCoy, who is part of the offense that helps break the drought.
The trade, the other thing I think about with Kiko Alonso is his hits that he would have, like the dirty hit on Joe Flacco.
The questionable hits that he would have on routine.
I mean,
basis.
I wouldn't call
the Bills
one,
scrapped with him because of one.
Yeah, the Josh Allen one.
Yeah, Allen took a slide.
I don't really consider it to be the worst of the worst, but I think the Flacco one was the worst of the worst.
Oh, yeah, it was terrible. But again, fun little fact, though, about Kiko Alonso after he retired. After his last game, by the way, was in 2019. And he ends up back with the Saints, and he ends up retiring.
I remember
he was traded four times in his NFL career. That is tied for the most in the NFL. Do you know who is the other player who was traded four times in the league?
Ryan Fitzpatrick.
A noteworthy candidate, I will say.
Yeah,
a lot of his movement was free agency.
Oh.
Eric Dickerson.
I mean, he was considered to be the big prize in the trade of the decade, but it turned out that the Bills got the big prize in the trade of the decade.
Yes. So,
or the deal of the decade, excuse me.
So, of the four trades, Alonzo's impact the other way was most beneficial for Buffalo. So, have a happy retirement, Kiko. And with that, we're already over on time. So, for Frank Arcuri, for Evan DePasquale, thank you for listening. I'm Derek Kramer. This has been Sports Talk Sunday. Thank you to Sal Capaccio for checking in live with us at training camp. Thanks to all of you that chimed in as well earlier in the first hour today as well. So, for Frank, for Evan, I'm Derek. Thank you for listening. Howard and Jeremy back at it for you. 6 a.m. tomorrow. Let's get it. You're listening to WGR.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.